You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Toronto's Ryerson University is in the heart of one of the most multicultural cities in the world and is among the most diverse high learning institutions in Canada. Yet the last decade has seen an escalation in racial tension on its campus. Alarm from the community, articulated on the International Day for the Elimination of Discrimination in 2008, motivated the president of Ryerson University to establish a task force on anti-racism. Its mandate was to investigate the root causes of this disturbing increase in racist incidents. The task force was a 12-member team comprised of faculty, staff, and students representative of Ryerson's diverse community. Last week, they delivered their report after an exhaustive year-long investigation, and they made recommendations. Dr. Grace Edward Galabuzzi is an associate professor in the Department of Politics and Public Administration at Ryerson University and co-chair of the Task Force on Anti-Racism. And he joins me this morning to tell us about the committee's findings. Hello, Grace Edward.
Good morning, Rosemary.
It's Jane.
Is it Jane? I'm sorry.
That's okay. Tell us about the escalation of racial tension at Ryerson University over the last decade.
Well, I think what happened was that issues were raised by students, staff, and faculty that I think to some extent culminated in a level of mobilization that led to the establishment of the task force. Some of those issues related to a variety of incidents that had to do with racist attacks, anti-homophobic attacks, anti-Arab and anti-Muslim attacks, anti-Semitic attacks. There was graffiti of a variety of kinds that was painted on doors. There was anti-Muslim and anti-Arab flyers that were distributed on campus. There was anti-Semitic graffiti that was painted on the door of a professor, the billboard of the East African Student Association, which is a largely Muslim association, was set on fire. The campaign signs of the first successful president of the Ryerson Student Union, who happens to be a Muslim and also the person of color, were defamed. And we had a variety of events that were of concern to the community. And I think to some extent that's what triggered the need for a task force.
That must have been very shocking. That's a shocking catalog of events.
I think there was sort of a combination of both incidents and concern. So that we got to a point where we could not simply ignore these events, and clearly we're concerned that something must be driving these concerns. But on the other hand, there were ongoing issues of social justice and systemic discrimination that also needed to be addressed, so the mandate of the task force was both to look at the incidents but also the systemic issues.
Now, other institutions have done studies on racism. What was different about how Ryerson conducted its investigation?
From our point of view, I think we learned a lot from what other institutions have done, and I think that we're able to build on what they did well and where they were not as successful. I think we made the adjustments that were necessary. One of the, I think, most important things is that we approached this as a community collective responsibility. So it wasn't just the administration that was the quote-unquote target of the demands. The community assumed responsibility, and that's why the task force involved students, staff, faculty, and also representation from the senior administration. So I think that was an important part of it. The other part is that we gave it a bit of time so that we could be as comprehensive as we thought we needed to be, and we thought that these are the kinds of exercises you don't want to do every 3 to 5 years. So we thought that we would invest significantly in the project. We would have a research dimension to it. We will open it up to the community so that we had a variety of community events as opportunities for people to come forward. We provided people a safe space to come forward and speak about their experiences and their concerns, because we thought that that was really important. Issues of race and religion are not issues that people speak to comfortably in public, so we provided that option. We did a survey, an environmental survey on inclusion. We reviewed the policies of the institution as well as the policies of other institutions to see where there were best practices. We engaged a variety of key informants, both from the administration but also the service providers on campus, as well as students and faculty and staff. So it was a fairly comprehensive look at a variety of issues that we thought were really important to look at. We looked at curriculum, we looked at access to space, we looked at academic freedom and academic integrity, we looked at campus security, we looked at harassment discrimination policies, we looked at employment policies, particularly employment equity and how our program was doing. We looked at issues relating to speech, particularly offensive speech in the classroom. We looked at student placement and student retention, looked at authority in the classroom for instructors.
What were some of the key factors, do you think, that contributed to the racial tensions at Ryerson?
I cannot say that we concluded definitively as to what the factors were, but I can speculate that part of it had to do with the fact that we're in a process of change. In fact, we described Ryerson as having a culture of transition. And part of that has to do with the growing number of persons of color and persons of non-majority religion on campus, and some of the tension that arises as you go through that process. So when people who make certain assumptions about what an environment that is comfortable for them should be, have to deal with an environment that is changing, where they have to accommodate others who probably they have not accommodated in the past. And so to some extent there was a bit of anxiety that probably has prompted this notion, the notions of, for instance, people demanding white cultural groups bringing on campus white supremacists to do lectures, those kinds of things that we thought were not typical of an environment like Ryerson, which is quite diverse.
Now, the report came up with a list of recommendations for inclusion. How did the university respond?
Well, I think we are gratified with the way the university responded. I mean, we thought that it was really important, and let me just set it out, hopefully this is helpful, to asked the university to do a number of things in terms of change. One is to set out a vision that clearly articulates a commitment to an inclusive university. We think that it is really important for our students to have the what we refer to as cultural or diversity competencies. These are young men and women who are going to be working in very diverse environments. We think it's really important to ensure that they have the capacity to work in those environments, and we need to train them in that regard. So we thought that it was important for the university to make that commitment in terms of a vision. We thought that it was important for the university to engage a number of reforms, structural reforms, the establishment of an office of equity, diversity, and inclusion, to be led by a vice president, for instance. That's something that the university agreed to do. We thought that it was important for them to do training so that we can raise the level of understanding of these issues. We need to raise the literacy level on issues of equity and inclusion so that students, staff, and faculty have a completely different engagement on these issues than they're able to right now, because they don't necessarily have that level of literacy on these issues. So training is an important component of that, but so is the reform of the curriculum so that we can have an inclusive curriculum. Now, the university has committed to the training piece, and the president said very clearly that he will lead the march to the classroom. He will be one of the first people who will receive that training, and he will encourage his senior management team as well as other sectors of the community to do that training. So that we are thrilled is going to happen. Is going to happen within the time frame that we talked about, which is sometime by the end of this year. The curriculum piece is going to happen down the road, we hope, and certainly we'll hold the university accountable for that. A number of policy reforms that we suggested, for instance, harassment and discrimination policy. We suggested that a new office be opened, which is independent of the institution's hierarchy, which will be responsible for adjudicating harassment and discrimination complaints. What we have right now is an office that is both responsible for that function, but also is responsible for the public education and also the policy setting. So we want to split those functions, the adjudication separate, the other two will end up in the new office that is established for equity, inclusion, and diversity. And we think that the adjudicative function should also include the finding of a fact, a report, as well as the ability to provide remedy and to hold whoever is responsible accountable, which is different from what we have had up until now. We think that it is really important for the university to, on the curriculum side, to include curriculum equity and inclusion content in the curriculum, whether that is through a single course that is provided to students across the university at some point over the 4 years that they're here, or it is content that is integrated into courses that are already being provided. The important thing is that content is available to students so that students can learn more about diversity and equity.
Well, it sounds like a very exciting report and recommendations, and thank you so much for telling us about it. I'm going to refer people to where they can read their report online. Thank you.
I appreciate your interest.
I've been speaking with Dr. Grace Edward Galabuzzi. He's an associate professor in the Department of Politics and Public Administration at Ryerson University, and he's co-chair of the Task Force on Anti-Racism. For a copy of the report, you can go to ryerson.ca/anti-racism-taskforce. Mm-hmm.